This week's parsha is Parshas Miketz, and our shir will concentrate on Yosef's advice to Pharaoh what to do regarding the dreams. But before we do that, we'll give a quick synopsis about the parsha, and we'll start from the beginning. The pasuk starts Vayi Miketz Shnosayim Yomim. It was in the end of 2 years. The Medrash Rabbah in Siman Pei Tes explains that because Yosef told the Saramashke, the wine minister, on chapter 40, pasuk number 17, ki im zchartani itcho, that you're going to remember me with you, kashitavloch, when they're going to do good to you, meaning after you are going to be released from jail, vosison noi modi chesed, and you'll do with me a kindness, veizkartani, you remind me, el paroi to paroi, because Yosef requested twice for the Saramashke to remember him in front of Paroi, and for such a person as Yosef, which sees that Hashem is with him all the time, the fact that he relied on the Saramashke was considered a distrust in Hashem. Therefore, Hashem punished him that he was an extra 2 years in prison, because he said two times the language Zechartani, that you remember me, Veizkartani, and you remind me, El Paroi to Paroi, because of two languages of remembering. Therefore, he was punished that he was 2 extra years in prison. Sefer Tosfos Brocha asks a question, why specifically because of the language, remember me twice, was he an extra 2 years in prison? Why not an extra 2 months in prison? Why not an extra 20 years in prison, 10 years in prison? What is so special about the words that he said, that remember me twice, that show a lack of bitachon Hashem, that he was punished to be 2 years exactly in prison? Sefer Tosfos Brocha answers that because Yosef told the Saramashke to remember him, Hashem had to make sure that the Saramashke forgets him. As it's written on chapter 40, pasuk 23, Veloy Zohar Saramashkes Yosef, that the wine minister did not remember Yosef, Vaishkocheyu, and he forgot him. Since it was decreed that the Saramashke had to forget, and the Gemara in Brochas Daf Nun Ches says, Eina mes mishtakach min alev, elo la'achar shneim osar chodesh, that a dead person is not forgotten from the heart only after 12 months. That's why we keep avelus, mourning, for a period of 12 months. Because of that, since he relied on the Saramashke to remind him twice, therefore he had to be a forgetfulness twice. Since one forgetfulness is equal 12 months, so two times to forget is 24 months. Therefore, exactly after 2 years, Yosef was released from jail. Going back to the pasuk says, "Vayhi miketz shnasayim yamim." It was in the end of 2 years. Uparoi choylem, and Paroi is having a dream. That after 2 years, uparoi choylem, and Paroi is dreaming. Rabbeinu Bachya makes an interesting note, and he says that in the whole parsha, it's not written Paroi melech Mitzrayim. It's not in the Paroi, king of Egypt. It's just written Uparoi, to emphasize that Paroi really was nothing compared to Yosef, that Yosef really was much more of a king than Paroi. And also to tell you that as soon as Yosef came into the scene, Paroi and Egypt as a kingdom are doomed, and they are going to be downgraded. It's not going to be a proper kingdom anymore, because the Jewish people are going to eventually take out all the wealth and all the holiness out of Egypt. Therefore, it's written every time it's mentioned only Paroi, and it's not written that Paroi Melech Mitzrayim was a king of Egypt, because in a way Paroi is not a king and Egypt stops being a kingdom. Rabbeinu Bachya continues that the exception to the rule is in chapter 41, pasuk 46, where there it's written Yosef ben Shleshim Shana ba'amdu lifnei Paro Melech Mitzrayim, that Yosef is 30 years old when he is standing in front of Paroi, the king of Egypt, and there Yosef takes over for Paroi. Therefore, there it's the only place that is written that Paroi was Melech Mitzrayim, was king of Egypt, because we want to give honor to Yosef to say that Yosef basically took over the kingdom. We will see soon that this interpretation will fit very well with the Divrei Yoel that we are going to say later on. Rabbeinu Bachya continues, and that thought is emphasized by the Brisker Rav, that because Hashem wants to put his plan into action, and because Hashem wants to release Yosef, therefore Hashem makes Paroi dream to start that chain event that eventually that will cause the Jewish people to come out of Egypt. The Brisker Rav independently explains this idea that people misunderstand and think that Yosef came out of jail because Paroi had a dream and needed to be interpreted. But really, the Brisker Rav says it's exactly the opposite, that because Yosef needed to go out of jail, therefore Hashem made Paroi have a dream. Meaning that Paroi's dream is the consequence because Yosef needs to go out of jail. And this idea is an important moral lesson that we could apply to everyday life. Meaning that sometimes you will pick a stock and that stock will soar and bring you good money. Or you will invest in real estate and real estate will go up. You will think that because you made a good investment, therefore you have money. And if you'd have made a bad investment, then you wouldn't have money. But that is really not the truth. Hashem already predetermined how much money you are going to make this year. Therefore, Hashem presents you with a good investment, with a good real estate deal, with a good stock, in order to give you the money that was predetermined for you to have. In other words, not that because you picked the stock or you invested in real estate, that's what gave you the money. Hashem already predetermined what you're going to have. And Hashem wants you to make the money, therefore Hashem let you pick the stock, or Hashem made that stock make money, or Hashem presented you with the investment that you will make the money. Going back to the Pasuk says that Paroi had a dream and he is standing al ayor on the river. And then we know the famous dream. Seven fat cows are grazing next to the river. Seven skinny cows come up and they eat the seven fat cows. And the Pasuk says, Vayikatz Paroi, Paroi got up. Then he has a second dream. Vihina sheva shibolim oilois bekone echad, that seven ears of grain are going on one stalk. They are healthy, good looking, and seven thin and wind blasted come out behind them. And the seven wind blasted and skinny looking swallow the seven healthy looking. Paroi gets up and he has a dream. He's trying to find people to interpret the dream. Nobody is able to give him a satisfying interpretation on the dream. The Saramashke remembers that there was Yosef at the pit and he interpreted previously dreams. Yosef is quickly brought up from the pit. Paroi tells him, I heard that you know how to interpret dreams. Yosef answers, Hashem is the one that interprets dream. Paroi tells Yosef the dream. Paroi, when he recites about the dream, he makes subtle changes where Mefarshim ask why he did it and what did he mean by them. And one of the changes that he makes, which could be interpreted as Paroi's description of the vision that he had in the dream, is that he says on Pasuk number 21, Vatovoinu al Kirbeno, that the fat cows came into the stomach of the skinny cows, Veloinoida kivo al Kirbeno, and you couldn't tell that they came into their stomachs, Umareyen ra kasha bitchilo, and their look looked as bad as it was before, Voikot, and I got up. Meaning that the skinny cows ate the fat cows, and you couldn't tell that they ate anything, they were just as skinny as before. Yosef interprets the dream that seven fat cows are 7 years of plenty, seven stocks healthy looking are 7 years of plenty, seven skinny cows are 7 years of famine, seven wind-blasted stocks are 7 years of famine. It will be 7 years of plenty in the land of Egypt, and the 7 years of plenty are going to be followed by 7 years of famine, where in the 7 years of famine, everybody is going to forget the plenty that was previously. And Yosef says on Pasuk number 32, Valishonos hachaloim, as for the repetition of the dream, El Paroi to Paroi Pamoim, two times, Kinochoin hadovor mimelokim, because the matter stands ready in front of Hashem, Umemaru lekim la soisoi, and Hashem is hastening to accomplish it, meaning that the fact that Paroi dreamt twice, that means that Hashem is ready to perform the dream. And therefore, next Pasuk, Yosef is going to tell Paroi to find a person to take care of business right away. The Rashbam asks a very strong question. The Rashbam asks, how can Yosef tell Paroi that because Paroi dreamt the dream twice, therefore it's imminent to happen? We know that Yosef also had one dream twice, meaning first Yosef had a dream about binding sheaves, that he and his brothers are binding sheaves, and the brothers' sheaves bow down to his sheaf. And afterwards Yosef had a dream that the sun and the moon and 11 stars are bowing down to him. And we know that these dreams are eventually going to come true after 22 years. Then how can Yosef know that because Paroi had the dream twice, that it is imminent to happen? Yosef had dreams twice and it wasn't imminent. It took 22 years for the dream to come true. As a matter of fact, the Gemara in Brachas, Daf Nun Hei Omed Beis 55b, brings Omar Rablevi. Rablevi says, Le'olam yetzape odom lechalom toiv, that a person should hope for the realization of good dream at Chov Beishona for as long as 22 years. Menolon, how do we know that? Me Yosef, from the story of Yosef, that Yosef's dream came true only after 22 years, even though Yosef had the dream twice. Then how can Yosef tell Paroi that the fact that Paroi saw the dream twice, that means that the dream is imminent? Yosef's dreams did not come true for 22 years, and Yosef saw his dreams twice. The Rashbam answers that what Yosef is saying here is not that because Paroi saw the dreams twice per se. Yosef means to say that because Paroi saw the dream twice in one single night, even though he woke up in the middle, he dreamt a second dream related to the first dream, that is proof that it is imminent. Meaning that Yosef saw his dreams in different days. Since he saw in different days, there is no proof that the dreams are imminent. Therefore, they may take up to 22 years to come true. But Paroi saw both dreams in one night, even though he was awake between both dreams. That shows that the dreams are imminent. Therefore, you have to worry about the dreams. Pasuk 33 continues and says that Yosef tells Paroi that Paroi should find a person that is wise and understanding and put him on the land of Egypt. Paroi should make sure that he points people and gives the authority to confiscate 20% of the produce, put that produce in storehouses. That food should be for the 7 years of famine, and the land of Egypt will not perish. Mefarshim ask a very strong question. What business does Yosef have in giving advice to Paroi? Paroi called Yosef only to interpret the dream, but Paroi never asked Yosef to be his advisor. Then what business does Yosef have in advising the king on what to do in order to survive the famine? The Alshach explains that this advice that Yosef is giving Paroi, it is not advice, it is actually an intricate part of the dream, meaning that since one part of the dream was that seven ears are going into one stalk, and the Gemara in Brachas Daf Nun Vav Amud Beis 56b describes different interpretations for things you see in the dream. For example, the Gemara says, Haroye Chamor B'chaloyim, somebody who sees a donkey in his dream, Yetzapel Yeshua, he should hope for salvation. There the Gemara also says, Haroye Kona B'chalom, somebody who sees a stalk in a dream, Yetzapel Chochma, he should expect wisdom. And they bring a pasuk to say that point. Therefore, Yosef is interpreting that part of the dream. Since Paro saw seven ears of grain going up in one stalk, that means that the grain will be dependent on a wise person. Therefore, Yosef tells Paro that in the dream, Hashem told Paro to appoint a wise person, and that wise person should take care of the grain, that people should not die during the famine years. But Yosef is not giving advice per se to Paroi, he's actually interpreting the dream. Sefer Nachal Kedumim of the Chidah writes in the name of the Maharash Primoi in the same way as the Alshech answers, meaning that part of the dream was that Paroi appoint a wise person. And he says that Paroi really had one dream, but in his dream, he first dreamt about the cows, then he woke up, and then he dreamt about the stock. Meaning that everything was one large dream. Not like normally we say that he dreamt twice. He had one dream where he dreamt that he awoke in the middle. The Chidah explains the awakening in the middle is what Yosef is interpreting now. Yosef is telling Paroi that Hashem made you awake in the middle, that you require to awake and do something about it. That not just that you should stay in a slumber and view this event as happening, that you don't have control of this situation. The fact that Hashem made you in your dream wake up in the middle was to tell you that you could wake up and do something about it. That you don't have to stay idle by and let it happen and do nothing about it. You have to wake up and do something about it, meaning appoint somebody over Egypt in order to get the grain and save Egypt. The Mayan Shel Torah also says that Yosef is not trying to give advice to Paroi, and he says that from the fact that Hashem showed Paroi the seven plenty years and then the seven famine years, if this is just a dream that you don't have to act on, then Hashem doesn't have to show him the famine years yet. Hashem could show the famine years right before the famine comes. From the fact that Hashem showed them both and didn't wait to show the famine years right before the famine years, that showed that Hashem wants Paroi to do something during the plenty years for the famine years. Because otherwise, Hashem should show it just the plenty years, and eventually, later on, Hashem should show him the famine years. But from the fact that he showed him first the plenty and then the famine, then Hashem is showing Paroi that he wants him to take care in the plenty years for the famine years. Rabbi Avram, the son of the Rambam, said in the name of Rabbi Avram Achosit that truly this was not part of the dream. But since Yosef had pity and rachmanut and mercy on the nation, that if they don't prepare now in the plenty for the famine, then the population won't have what to eat during the famine years. It is possible that Paroi and his ministers would think that they will always have what to eat, but the general population won't have what to eat because the famine is going to be so intense. And knowing that Paroi and his ministers don't care about the common people, therefore Yosef decided to put this as an intricate part of interpretation and risk saying to Paroi this advice, like that he'll help save Egypt, the common people of Egypt. Meaning that this is really not part of the dream. But Yosef, knowing that Paro doesn't care about the people, therefore Yosef was motivated to risk and giving an advice to Paro, like that the people will survive. And according to this, we understand why the people accepted Yosef so willingly when Yosef was appointed to collect the grain for them, because since Yosef's motives was only the people's well-being, therefore they accepted them when he was put in charge of the grains. The pasuk continues that Paroi was very happy if what Yosef told them. Paroi asked his slaves, is there a person that has Ruach Elohim, the spirit of Hashem, in him? Paroi tells Yosef that now that Hashem told you what is going to happen, there is nobody as wise, as understanding as you. And pasuk number 40, Paroi tells Yosef, Ato tihiye al baisi, you're going to be on my house, Valpicho ishak kol ami, and through your mouth, through whatever you say, my whole nation will be supported. Rak hakise egdam imeko, only the throne will be bigger than you. Meaning that you're going to have the rights of the king. The only thing that I'm going to be bigger than you is the throne. Then Paroi tells to Yosef, Re'ei nosati oischo al kol eretz Mitzrayim, I put you over the whole land of Egypt. Paroi took the ring from his hand and gave it to the hand of Yosef, and he dressed him with clothing of fine linen. Vayosem revida zav al tzavoroi, and he put a golden chain on his neck, meaning that Paroi gave Yosef royal clothing, which showed that Yosef is royalty. Vayarkev oiso b'makeves ha-mishne ha-shaloi, Paroi placed Yosef on his second royal chariot, and he proclaimed in front of him Avreich, and took him over the whole land of Egypt. Going over the story, Yosef comes to Paroi, and Yosef tells Paroi that you have to appoint an officer, and he should take the food and save the food for the famine years. Paroi comes and says, is there such a person as smart as you? You are going to be the king of Egypt. The only thing that I'm going to be over you is the throne, but you're going to have the right to have everything in the kingdom, and you are going to be in control of the whole kingdom. Mefarshim asks a question that there is definitely something amiss in this story, because all Yosef did was tell Paroi that Paroi should appoint somebody to be in charge over the fruits and vegetables of the kingdom and make sure that he takes 20% of whatever grows and store it for the years of famine. Paroi in return makes him king. Why didn't Paroi just make him minister of agriculture or minister of the economy? Why does Paroi decide to make him king? What happened that Paroi took the risk to elevate him to a position of king? Specifically, if we learn what's written on the beginning of the Parsha, where the Sar Hamashke comes and tells Paroi on chapter 41, Pasuk number 12, where the Sar Hamashke says, V'shom itonu, and there with us, Nar Ivri, a youth, a Hebrew. So Rashi says, Arurim Hareshoim, curse are the wicked, She'ein Teivasom Shleim, even when they're doing a favor, they're not doing a complete favor. Meaning, even though he owed Yosef a debt of gratitude, he still doesn't want to do it the right way. Because every language that it says here, it's a detriment, derogatory remark to Yosef. Nar, so Rashi brings down Ayuv, means Shoite, a fool. Vein ra'o l'gdula, is not fit to greatness. Ivri, a Hebrew. Afil le'shoineinu enemaki, even our language he doesn't speak. He's not familiar with our language. As a side note, the winner of Rabbi Zriel Yudah Lebovich Zichron Levrocha, my Rosh Hashiva, asked a question, if the Sar Hamashke is looking for derogatory remarks against Yosef, the biggest derogatory remark that he could bring is that Yosef is suspected of committing adultery with the wife of Potiphar. And it doesn't seem like he used that one as a derogatory remark. Therefore, the Vinarov says that based on the Kli Yakor on the beginning of Parshas Mishpatim, Shmos chapter 21, Pasuk number 2, where there it says, Kisikna Eved Ivri, when you'll buy a Hebrew slave or a Jewish slave, the Kli Yakor explains that this verse is referring to a Jew that steals and he doesn't have the funds to pay back. Then he is sold in captivity because of those funds. And the Kli Yakor explains that this is implied by the words Kisikna Eved Ivri. When you buy a Eved Ivri, from the word avar, transgressed, that he made avera, he made a transgression. The transgression was that he stole. That is the slave that the pasuk there is referring to. And he says that the word Ivri doesn't mean Hebrew or Jewish, means a person that transgressed. According to this, the Vinarov says that here, when the Sar HaMashke, when the wine minister says that Kisomitanu Nar Ivri, it doesn't only mean a Hebrew slave that doesn't know our language, but it also means a lad that transgressed, a lad that is suspected of committing adultery with the wife of Potiphar. Then according to this, he really gave also this derogatory remark. But going back to our topic, the Sar HaMashke called Yosef Eved a slave, which means it is written in the protocols of Egypt that no slave could become king and no slave may wear princely garment. Clearly, Paroi was aware of what Yosef was supposed to be. Yet Paroi decides to take the risk and make Yosef a viceroy. What is going on? The simple answer is that is exactly the point. To show you the power of Hashem, how Hashem could sway people, that even though logically it does make sense, yet Hashem could make it that he should become a king and he should be on the top of the world. Meaning, Yosef is in 1 minute a slave in a dungeon, in the next minute he is the king of Egypt. And that is only possible by the hand of Hashem. It doesn't have to be logical. Hashem does things like that. That Yeshua's Hashem Ke'erev Ayin, that Hashem helps in a blink of an eye, and Hashem could make even the impossible possible. And that could be the simple message of this story, that Yosef could be in one moment a slave, and the next moment he could be a king. And so too our lives, even though it seems like we have no way out, if we truly trust completely in Hashem, Hashem could make a miracle happen, and we'll also be on top of the world in 1 second. We have to trust Hashem and know that Yeshua's Hashem, the salvation of Hashem, Ke'erev Ayin, could come as fast as a blink of an eye. The other answer is brought by the Medrash Rabbe on Bamidbar. It's paraphrased in the Gemara in Soita, Daf Lamed Vav Amud Beis 36b. The Gemara there and the Medrash relate that when Paroi made Yosef viceroy, the stargazers of Paroi came and complained, how is it possible a person that was sold by 20 sloim, meaning the brothers sold Yosef for 20 sloim, he should become king? It's written in the protocols of Egypt that no slave could be king. Paroi says that it seems to me like he has kingly features, meaning that he's not a slave, that he comes from good family because he is wise, he has beauty. The Medrash says that Egypt was a very intellectual place, and the way that society was gauged, the way you achieved a high level in society, is that you had to be more intellectual. One way to gauge that intellectual ability is to figure out how many languages you knew. Paroi knew all 70 languages, therefore Paroi became king. Paroi installed in front of his throne 70 steps that, depending on the level of the person, he would speak to Paroi in that step. Meaning, if you spoke one language, then you stood in the bottom step and you spoke from there to Paroi. If you spoke 5 languages, then you were able to get up 5 steps and speak from there to Paroi. If you spoke 60 languages, then you were able to go up 60 steps and speak to Pharaoh. The Medrash also says that Gavriel came to Yosef the night before Yosef was released and taught him the 70 languages. The Medrash actually says that Yosef had a difficulty learning 70 languages. Then Gavriel came and added a letter in Yosef's name, meaning that Yosef normally is written Yud Vav Samach Fei, but in this case in Tehillim 81, number 6, it's written Edus B'Yosef Samoy, that he appointed a testimony to Yosef, but Yosef is written Yud Hei Vav Samach Fei, but say so Aleretz Mitzrayim, when he went out to Egypt. So the Pasuk says, Faslo Yodati, language that I never knew, Eshmo, I understood, which means that the angel Gabriel taught Yosef all 70 languages. When Yosef comes in front of Pharaoh, Pharaoh asks him one language. So Yosef answers one language, and Yosef goes up one step. Pharaoh keeps asking him other languages until Yosef gets up to the top step. When Yosef comes to the top step, Pharaoh asks him, do you know another language? Yosef tells him, yes, I know another language. I know Lashon Kodesh. Yosef knew 70 languages now because Gavriel taught him, and Lashon Kodesh, where Pharaoh only knew 70 languages. Then by all rights of Egypt, the right of intellectual ability, Yosef was supposed to be king now, because Yosef is the most intellectual person in Egypt. Pharaoh makes a deal with Yosef. Pharaoh says that you're going to be the ruler over Egypt, but give me the honorary title of being king, but everything else will be done by you. And also, Pharaoh asks Yosef to swear to him that he's not going to disclose to anybody that he knows the 70 languages plus Lashon Kodesh. Yosef agrees. As a matter of fact, Rashi on chapter 50, Pasuk number 6, after Yaakov Avinu died, Yosef had previously sworn that he is going to take Yaakov towards Israel. He came to ask permission to Pharaoh. The Gemara in Sota Daf Lamed Vav Amud Beis relates that Pharaoh didn't want to let Yosef to go take his father to Eretz Israel. Yosef tells Pharaoh, but I swore to my father. Pharaoh tells Yosef, transgress what you swore. Yosef tells Pharaoh, if you're going to make me transgress what I swore to my father, I'll also transgress that promise I made you that I'm not going to disclose to anybody that I know more languages than you do, that you only know 70 and I know 70 plus Lashon Kodesh, meaning that Yosef was blackmailing Pharaoh that if he doesn't let him take his father to Eretz Yisrael and transgress his shvuah, his swearing, then he's going to transgress also the swearing. Automatically Yosef would become the king, and if Yosef would become the king, then he could do anything that he wants. So Pharaoh had no choice. Pharaoh had to let Yosef take Yaakov to Eretz Yisrael to be buried as he has sworn, because Pharaoh was afraid that Yosef is going to transgress or go against what he swore to him. But we see clearly from all these ideas that anybody who knew the most languages was king. Therefore, our question, how come Pharaoh didn't install Yosef as a minister of agriculture? How come he made him a viceroy or almost king? Only the honorary title of king was left to Pharaoh. The reason is because Yosef by right was going to be king, and Pharaoh by doing that remained at least the honorary king. We are going to give the answer of the Divrei Yoel on this question, but before we bring his answer, we are going to ask another question regarding the story of Yosef. On chapter 41, Pasuk 55, there the Pasuk relates how the hunger year started, and the Pasuk said that Vatirav kol Eretz Mitzrayim, that the whole land of Egypt hungered, Vayitzak omel Paroi, and the people came to Paroi Lalochem to get bread, Vayomer Paroi Lechol Mitzrayim, Paroi told all of Egypt, Lechu el Yosef, go to Yosef, Asher Yoyma Lochem Tasu, whatever Yosef tells you to do, do. So Rashi explains, why did they go to Paroi to complain? So Rashi says that Yosef was telling them to circumcise. When they came to Paroi, they told Paroi that he demands us to circumcise. Paroi asks, didn't you know that it's going to be hunger years? How come you did not save any food? So they answered them, Yes, we saved food, but all the food that we saved rotted away. So Paro says, if that is true, then quickly do whatever Yosef says, because he decreed on the tavua, the produce, and the produce rot, so he could decree on us and we will die. Meaning that Yosef was making everybody that asked for food to circumcise before he received any food. And they didn't like that. Paro asked them, how come you didn't save up? They said, yes, we did save, but that food became rotten. Paro says, if that is so, you have no choice. You have to follow what Yosef says. We have to understand, why did Yosef tell everybody to circumcise? What was the idea behind Yosef demanding that they circumcise? Sefer Tiferes Yonason answers that since Egyptian was notorious as an immoral place, and the Gemara in Soita Daf Dalet Amud Beis 4b says that if you are immoral, then Hashem takes away your parnasa, that lack of food comes to a person that is immoral. So Yosef wanted to curb their immorality. Yosef told them all to circumcise, because if they circumcise, they curb their immorality, then they will merit to have food. Yosef wanted to make anything to cause them to merit to have food. Therefore, Yosef told them all to circumcise. The Eitz Yosef, in the name of Yaros Dvash, says that Yosef saw that eventually the Jewish people are going to come to Eretz Mitzrayim and they're going to become assimilated in the culture. Yosef was afraid that they'll be ashamed to make a breeze, and therefore they'll end up behaving like the Egyptians. Therefore, Yosef made everybody have a breeze. Like that, the Jewish people, when they come, they won't be ashamed to continue doing breeze, and they'll have a merit to come out of Egypt when God takes us out. In other words, the whole idea that for them to circumcise is to cause the Jewish people in the future to circumcise. Because if the Jewish people come to Egyptian culture and the Egyptian does not circumcise, they may want to stop circumcision. And Yosef wanted them to have the merit of circumcision in order for them to get out of exile. Therefore, Yosef made all the Egyptians circumcise. The other interpretation brought down by Sefer Yefei Tohar is that since the Jewish people are going to come to Egypt, Yosef didn't want them to be a source of laughter, that people will make fun and mock them that they do circumcision, because if all the Egyptians do circumcision, nobody will mock them that they do circumcision. In other words, Yosef wanted them to feel comfortable and not being teased about making circumcision. Therefore, Yosef made all the Egyptians make circumcision. The Satmar Rebbe in Divrei Yoel explains that the key of the whole story is what's written on chapter 41, Pasuk 21. And I mentioned this Pasuk before. The Pasuk says, "Vatovoinol kirbeno," that the fat cows came into the stomach of the skinny cows, "Veloinoida ki boel kirbeno," and you couldn't tell that they came into their stomachs, "Umareyam ra," and their looks is just as bad, "Kasha bitchilo," like it was in the beginning, "and veikots," and "I got up." Meaning that no matter how much fruits and vegetables you are going to save from the fat year to the skinny year are still going to be just as bad. There is not going to be any salvation from the skinny years, because the skinny years are going to eat the fat years and they still remain as skinny, which means that the fat year's food will not help for the skinny year's food. Therefore, Paro realized that he has no choice, meaning that every country has a guardian angel, a Tsar in heaven, that protects that country. And Egypt was supposed to be doomed, because Egypt, under the Tsar of Egypt, under the auspices of the Egyptians, was going to be totally doomed. Therefore, the only choice that Egypt has is to transfer the kingdom to a different person. For example, to Yosef, which Yosef is Ivri, is from a different land, then technically Egypt is going to become an extension of the land of Israel, extension to the auspices of Yosef. That is the only way that Egypt could survive. By Paro giving over the kingdom completely, giving over to Yosef completely, under the auspices of Yosef, that Yosef is going to be in control of everything. Technically, this stops being an Egyptian kingdom and becomes a Yosef's kingdom. That is the only way that Egypt will be able to survive, that people will be able to have food. In the same way that when a person is very sick, we add a name and we say that the decree who came for sickness only came for the person who had the previous name, but the new name, there is no decree for sickness. The same way works with the countries. If the country is Egypt, then the country will be doomed. But if the country becomes now under the auspices of Yosef, meaning under the God of Yosef, under the kingdom of Yosef, then that country has no decree on it, and that country will survive. And that is the advice that Yosef gives, that you have to find a person, Ish Novim V'Chacham, which will put away the food, and that is the only way that's going to survive. And Yosef gives this advice because that is part of the dream. Because if you continue under any person, then Egypt will perish. Paroi says, we find a person like you that has God with him, which means that you are under God, that you are not an Egyptian like us, that we have different gods. You are Elohim. You are under Hashem. Therefore, we are willing to transfer over title of the whole land, that you control the whole land. Like a kisa, just I want an honorary title of being king. But real power will belong to you. Therefore, Paroi can't make Yosef a minister of agriculture, because if he makes him a minister of agriculture, it's still under the auspices of the Egyptian kingdom, and still Egypt is doomed. Paroi has no choice, has to elevate him into a king. And that also explains the Rabbeinu Bachya that we mentioned at the beginning of the parsha, why it's not written king of Egypt in the whole parsha. Because technically now Paroi is not king of Egypt anymore. Once Yosef gets to the scene, this land really belongs to Yosef. Yosef is really the owner of the land. If Yosef is the owner of the land, comes out the Oi subjects are slaves. The halacha is that if you have a slave, even though he's not Jewish, you are required to circumcise. So Yosef is telling the people that they are required to circumcise. Why? Since I'm the king of Egypt, meaning that now everything belongs to me. Since everything belongs to me, Yosef, then you are my slaves and my subjects. Then you have to behave like I behave. Therefore, you're required to circumcise. They resisted circumcision. They went to Paroi. Paroi says, how come you didn't save all the food? They said, yes, we saved, but all the food got rotten, which is exactly like the dream was. The dream was that all the food of Egypt is going to be rotten if it stays under the Egyptians. Therefore, Paroi says, quickly circumcise, because if he's going to renounce you as his subjects, then you are going to die. Meaning, because the food is only for a person that is not under the kingdom of Egypt. Only Yosef, because Yosef is a foreigner, and now Egypt belongs to this foreigner. Therefore, the decree doesn't apply to him. That is the reason, according to the Divrei Yoel, number one, why it's not written here, Melech Mitzrayim, the king of Egypt, because now Yosef is technically the king. Why Yosef gives advice to Paroi? Because Yosef realizes also that no matter how much you're going to save, if you are an Egyptian, you won't be able to save any food because the food will be rotten, as it was for the people who saved the food. And Paroi realized that he has to surrender the kingdom and give to Yosef the whole kingdom. And therefore Yosef tells everybody to go ahead and circumcise, because since now Yosef is the owner of the land, everybody becomes technically his subjects. Therefore Yosef has no choice. Yosef has to tell him to circumcise, that they should leave the auspices of the Tsar Shel Mitzrayim and go into the auspices of Yosef. Therefore, Yosef told them to circumcise. And Hashem Yisburach should help that the same way we saw by Yosef that the salvation of Hashem came in a blink of eye, we should see the salvation of Hashem quickly in a blink of eye. Bimhero Beyomeinu, Moshiach should come, the Beis HaMikdash should be rebuilt. Bimhero Beyomeinu, Amen.